Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us again to meet together by the radio to open His eternal Word and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, whatever you're doing, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open God's eternal Word. We're turning again in our Bible today to the book of Acts, chapter number 12, and I'm just going to read verse number 5 and get right into the study of this portion of the Word of God today. I spent the entire time of the broadcast yesterday reviewing what we had studied last week, but I do not feel like that's wasted time, because one of the best methods of teaching is the method of repetitious teaching. And so as we went over those scriptures, I trust God will use them to encourage your heart and then increase your faith that you might become more of a person of prayer. We looked at the purpose of praying. We looked at the place of prayer, the pattern of praying, the privilege of praying, and the promises of praying. And I want to begin today and deal with the power of praying. And again, as I think of these promises of prayer, that old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," keeps ringing out in my soul. Listen to the words of it again. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And oh, my friend, how true that is. What we miss when we fail to pray. Notice now in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 5. The Bible said, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Now, if you're a student of the Word of God, you're familiar with a story in Acts chapter number 12. As we read these first verses, we learn that Herod has turned great persecution loose on the church. He's already killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the people, he proceeds to capture Peter also. And he delivers him into 4 quaternion of soldiers to keep him until after the feast of the unleavened bread. And he's intended to bring him forth after that Passover and then kill him just to please the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we see here is Holy Ghost intervention. When it looks like the devil is having his heyday, the saints of God begin to pray, and God intervenes in answer to their prayer. I want you to notice as I read on in verse number 6, the Bible said, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." Now, can you imagine that? He's sentenced for execution the next morning and is laying there asleep. That's the power of prayer. And then the Bible said in verse number 7, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from him. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. There's the story of the power of prayer. Peter has been locked up in prison. They're going to kill him following the Passover day. And now then the church prays. And as they pray, God sends an angel and unlocks the chains that are about him, unlocks the door, and leads him out. They approach the gate of the city, and the Bible said that that gate simply opened unto them of its own accord. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Sure I do. You say, why did it happen? Was it a coincidence? Was it some mechanical mix-up that that door opened? No, my friend. It's the power of God that moves in answer to the prayer of God's people. And then when you think of the power of prayer, you automatically remember Acts chapter number 16. Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison. The Bible said in chapter number 16 and verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of the sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said unto them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You see, my friend, here again is a good picture of the power of prayer. Paul and Silas are put in jail. There even the Bible said back up in verse number 24 that they were put into the inner prison. Their feet was made fast in the stocks. I mean, man, they put them in maximum security of that day. But I want to tell you, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And then they sang praises unto God. And the prisoner heard them. I love verse number 26. The Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. I love that word, suddenly. That's the way God works. And the word immediately, that's the way God works. And God can loose the bands, whatever they may be, that's upon a person. And he does that in answer to prayer. So when I speak of the power of prayer, I'm talking about that God is able, as he was in Peter's day, to go through the closed doors, wake him up, and deliver him from the bondage of the chain and the prison that he was in. And he's able to make the jail rock and the foundation shake and crumble, and the doors open and the bands fall off, as he did in the lives of Paul and Silas there in the Philippian jail. I'm saying to you, my friend, there is power in prayer, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how the situation may seem and how things may look and seem to be. I want to tell you, my friend, there is nothing impossible with our God when he moves in answer to our prayer. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse number 31, Peter and John had been arrested, and they had been questioned and threatened by the men and told not to preach anymore. But when they left there, they went back to the brethren, shared their story with the brethren there, And the Bible said in Acts chapter 4, verse number 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. My friend, I'm saying to you, there is power in prayer. You remember how Daniel prayed. They cast him into the den of lions, but the lion could not affect him. The Bible said in Jude verse number 20, and ye brethren, beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I gave some of these the other day. Let me say them again. I'm talking about the power of prayer. Prayer is a sin killer. Prayer is a life changer. Prayer is a victory giver, a holiness promoter, a dispute settler, an obstacle remover, a Christ revealer, a revival bringer, a church builder. Prayer links us with God. Prayer breaks down difficulties. Prayer opens closed doors. Prayer calls forth laborers. Prayer releases the power of God. Prayer energizes the spread of the gospel. Prayer brings grace and victory in a time of crisis. My friend, when we pray, prayer will do a work that nothing else can do in the life of God's people. The power of prayer. Oh, the enemy's been defeated, and the saints of God have come out victorious many, many times down through the centuries of Christianity. And I want to say to you today, friend, listen to this preacher. Many, listen today, are facing great difficulties and great opposition and great battles. But I want to tell you, friend, there is a power in prayer. When we shut ourselves in with God and we confess our sins and clean up our lives and we yield ourselves completely to the will of God and the work of His grace, I want to tell you, friend, there's not anything too big for God. There's not anything too difficult for God. There's not anything too hard for God. God can melt away your problem. God can dissolve away your burdens and your worries and your heartaches and your heartbreaks. When we pray, there is power in prayer. Prayer can bring conviction and conversion into the life of the hardest of the hard-hearted, into the life of the worst of the sinners, into the life of the most rebellious of the rebels. Oh, my friend, it will work. Pray. There's power in prayer. There's power over governments, power over gods, and power over gates of opposition when we pray. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.
I do not.